Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes New York Times bestselling author John Darnielle, presenting Universal Harvester, a haunting and masterfully unsettling novel set in a small town where events take a dark turn. This event will be hosted at Bird in Hand Cafe and Bookstore in Charles Village, Saturday, February 10th at 7 p.m. More at theivybookshop.com or 410-377-2966.
Hello from the Baltimore Sun. I'm Dan Roderick, Sun columnist, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 354. For the 8th day of February 2018, this is Roughly Speaking Sports, with members of the Sun's sports staff today as we talk about the Baltimore Orioles as they head into spring training 2018. With me are Sun baseball writers Eduardo Eddie in the Yard Encina, John Mioli, and my esteemed columnist colleague in his signature L.L. Bean flannel shirt, Peter Schmuck. Peter will soon be switching to his other signature shirt, the palm tree and flower patterned Hawaiian shirts, more suitable for Sarasota. Peter, so good to see you.
Good to see you, Dan.
And it's great to have John and Eddie here, all three of you at one time. This is great. Nice to see you all.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so anyway, people are predicting the Orioles to finish last. They say the pitching rotation is what? It's like...
You said this was the 2018 version. You're talking about the 2017 version.
Now, let's see, where should we begin? Frozen free agents.
Free agent freeze out, yeah.
Yes, that there are these good pitchers sitting out there, no one signed them yet, including the Orioles. And John, the Orioles need at least two starters, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You need probably two, maybe three, to get through a season with what they have.
Yeah.
The suspicion among the union and agents that this is a collusionary environment where all the teams have decided they're not going to sign free agents until the prices drop late in the offseason. It's very possible that's true. Probably more a case of the crazy numbers that were thrown around and the big contracts were given to relief pitchers and middle relievers early in offseason kind of just threw everyone for a loop, and the owners and the GMs have kind of just stepped back to see what happens.
Well, I mean, we go down on Sunday down to Sarasota, Peter and I, and pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday, and then that's the first pitchers and catchers workout a few days later. For the most part, position players report, you know, earlier before then, but then, I mean, this is a pretty short spring, not short spring training, but there's a very short time period between the workouts and games starting, so it'll be interesting.
So, there are still things that need to be done. The Orioles need starting pitching, and Manny could still be traded, right? He could still be traded before the start of the season.
He could be. I think at this point, you know, the team's preparing to, you know, they shopped him. They didn't get an offer they liked. And at this point, they're preparing for him to play shortstop this year instead of third base and maybe revisit that trade possibility later in the year, maybe around the trade deadline.
And, John, the starting rotation, I mean, that's a real drag on the team. It's why the preseason ratings of the Orioles are so low, right?
Yeah, so at this point in the season is when a lot of the analysts take stock in what the, you know, what the teams have done, what the rosters look like, and they use past performance. They say, you know, how many hits does this person give up? How many strikeouts do they make? How many, you know, runs does this team score? And based on how many runs the Orioles are expected to score, and unfortunately more prevalent in it, how many they're going to expected to give up, they're projected to win 70 games, which means what? I'm a journalist. That's 92 losses?
That sounds like last place to me.
Yeah.
All right. Can I ask you about Mike Moustakas?
Mike Moustakas?
I thought it was Moustakas.
I'll leave the Greek pronunciations to you.
Well, anyway, they should get this guy, right?
Well, they should, but he's a top-flight free agent. He's a third baseman. They sort of need a third baseman, but it's an awkward situation because they've already told Tim Beckham he's going to be the third baseman.
It was Glenn Beckham. Wasn't Glenn Beckham the guy that used to
No,
have the
he
talk
plays
show?
Right field.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
Tim Beckham is going to go to third so Manny can play shortstop so make
that's
Manny
correct.
Happy.
Yeah, that's correct. But this is not a new concept. I mentioned this in my column today, okay, because early on during the winter meetings when they were talking about moving Machado, a lot of people speculated, not just me, MLB.com, our guys, that if they did trade Manny, that they could replace him by signing Moustakas, who is was on the Kansas City Royals good teams.
Left-handed
he's kind of
hitter, right?
Yeah, left-handed hitter, power hitter, kind of one of those dirt dog players. He's, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a buck kind of guy. Now, he's going to cost $80 million So at least unless this thing goes on and guys just start folding up and taking one-year contracts. I just mentioned that because it's an opportunity if the Orioles really wanted to say, we need a left-handed bat. We need someone who's dependable at third base. They don't know if Tim Beckham will be that guy. And frankly, if you behind the scenes, when you talk to the Orioles, they really envision Tim Beckham as a super utility guy who could be the leadoff guy every day. So that would all work out. Now, can that happen? Yeah. Will it happen? Probably not.
Now, I'm going to do something that lawyers never do, which is to ask questions they don't know the answers to. But that's why I have you guys here. I'm going to throw out some names, and you can just tell me where these guys are today if you know. All right? J.J. Hardy, he's gone, right?
He's gone. He's probably somewhere in his ranch in Montana. I think it's deer hunting season still. He wants to play this year. He's been working out. Probably won't be for the Orioles. He'll probably have to settle for a minor league deal at this point if he wants to sign with anyone. Haven't heard anything about anyone's interest in JJ, but obviously he's a good shortstop.
I actually saw a picture of him a couple days ago. I think it was last week at the Milwaukee Brewers fantasy camp alongside a bunch of players who are retired, and one of the reporters there asked him, does this mean you're retired too? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm just here visiting friends. But I don't know how many active major league players, end up at coach at fantasy camp.
That's fun. Kevin Gausman, he's still on the team, right?
He doesn't yet have a ranch in Montana, but if he pitches well this year.
You mean this could be the breakout year for Kevin Gausman?
It better be. I mean, he's had a tough time pitching in the first half of the season, as we all know. They figured something out last year. Big key for the Orioles this year is Kevin Gausman. Is the second half Kevin Gausman from last year going to jump right in the first half this year? Or are we going to have another 3 months of wondering what happened to Kevin Gausman?
Michael Givens. Now, is Michael Givens coming back?
I really like
absolutely.
This guy.
Yeah, he's back. He'll he's probably been spending the offseason in Tampa, hanging out in his hometown. But yeah, he'll be setup guy. Maybe get some closing opportunities if. Along with Brock, since Britton's out for the first few months of the year.
If I was calling in on a Boston Talk radio show, I'd ask you this question. Could Michael Givens be a starter? Huh, John, could he be a starter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Michael Givens is someone who didn't really ever come up as a pitcher. Obviously, he was a shortstop when the Orioles drafted him, and they converted him to being a pitcher. And while they wanted to stretch him out a little bit, I don't think his arm is really equipped for the workload. It's the same thing question that gets asked with Brad Brock all the time. He's a three-pitch reliever. How many three-pitch relievers are there? Why don't you make him a starter? But at this point, they're a lot more valuable as relievers than starters to the Orioles, even though they desperately need starting pitchers.
Speaking of Brad Brock, is he back?
Yes, indeed.
Is his wife back, too? Is she singing? Are they still an item to sing? Yeah. They're still together?
Yeah, they just had a kid, I think.
Oh, great. I'm glad.
So there's another Brock.
All right. How about Donnie Hart? Do we have a guy on the team named Donnie Hart?
Yes, we do have a guy on the team named Donnie Hart. He's their left-handed specialist.
Did he pitch last year?
Yeah, he did.
Because if it was after July, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, fellas. But
Donnie Hart was, he came into the year. He gave up, I think, one run his entire rookie season in 2016.
Right, terrific.
He backed up a little bit, had some regression. He was up and down from the big league roster to Triple-A. He'll probably be on the same shuttle again this year.
Now, let me ask you about this Gilman student, Hunter Harvey. Hunter, he went to Gilman, didn't he?
He might have had his arms cut on by someone who went to Gilman, though.
It looks like this guy could be the real thing pitcher someday, right?
I mean, he's off of Tommy John surgery. He's now pitching again. So in Buck Showalter's perfect world, he'll be summoned here in late July, probably.
I can just hear Hunter Harvey now. My arm's feeling good. I can really help this ball club.
That is not how Hunter Harvey sounds. Okay. He's from very country North Carolina. So
yeah. Really?
If you want to know where he is in this space and time, he's in a deer stand right now. I don't think he's come out. I think they dragged him out for 3 days to go to minicamp and 3 days to go to FanFest, and he got off the plane and went right into it.
My arm's feeling good. I can really help this ball club. All right. Darren O'Day, is he coming back? Is he still on the team?
Absolutely, yeah. Darren, he had a couple of, I guess you'd say the year before last was really an off year after being absolutely unhittable for his whole Oriole career. Came back last year, struggled a little early, but did close out fine. And at FanFest said he's 100% healthy. One of the smartest pitchers you'll ever meet, and that shows up on the mound. I mean, he is a guy who thinks his way through at bat sometimes, even when he doesn't have his best stuff.
How about Yefrey Ramirez?
Why is everyone looking at me?
Why, are you close to Jeffrey?
Yeah. I actually just followed him on Instagram. he posts a lot of...
That means you're close.
He posts a lot of inspirational quotes in Spanish.
So what's his story?
So his story, the Orioles traded for him last July 31st. They gave the Yankees, you know, somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million in international signing bonus slot money that the Yankees, thankfully, for their sake, did not use on Shohei Ohtani. And Ramirez, you know, he's got a really good changeup. He won 15 games in Double-A last year. The Orioles value Double-A stats above most things at this point. And he's going to be one of those pitchers who's in the mix for once they're bringing up pitchers to eat innings in the middle relief. He'll be in the starter mix.
And, Eddie, who is Tanner Scott, and why is he on the roster?
Tanner Scott, we saw him a little bit in September when you weren't following the team, Dan. He came up. He's a really power arm lefty. I think they like what they saw from him. He still has a little bit of control issues. I think he's going to have to figure out before he really becomes a really major contributor. But he's got a bright future. He's one of the high upside guys on the pitching staff.
Mike Wright. Is Mike Wright coming back?
He, at least until April or March 29th. He's a guy's out of options, which means that he will have to make the team or be waived around the league. Probably would be claimed, so it's pretty much a do or die for him. He and current Korean superstar Tyler Wilson were doing the same up and down thing, and it didn't really go that well last year.
My father had a plumber named Yakabonis. I wonder if he's any relation to Jimmy Yakabonis. Tell us about Jimmy Yakabonis.
Well, Jimmy Yakabonis is when we talk about these guys who came up on the minor league shuttle and pitched in the, they were in Norfolk on a Wednesday night and on the mound in the big league game on a Thursday night and back in Norfolk on Friday. He fit that to a T. He had some rough go at the beginning of it. I remember one of his first outings I was listening to on the radio. Ed was there and he was up in a big situation and Aaron Judge was at the plate and I said, this ball is probably going to go a long way. And it did. But Yakabonis had a pretty good, month of September, he'll be right there in that bullpen mix. He might even make the team out of spring training.
Biggest claim to fame, went to the same high school as Jim Hunter.
As Jim Hunter, the announcer?
Yes.
That's Jim Hunter's biggest claim.
That's Jim Hunter's biggest claim to fame, too.
Okay. I got two Austins I want to ask you about here. Austin Wins and Austin Hayes. What's the difference?
Well, you can only carry two Austins on your 40-man roster, so they've reached that. But Wins, he's one of their guys who's going to compete for a backup role catching along with Chance Cisco, and a new guy they refer to. I'm surprised you haven't asked us about is Andrew Susak.
Andrew who?
Susak.
Andrew Susak?
Yeah.
Acquired from the Brewers.
Can you tell me about the Austins first?
I'll tell you about the Susak after the after the Austins. Mm-hmm. So Wins is he'll compete for some catching time in spring training. Hayes, I think they expect a lot of. We saw him in September too. He's one of the guys. It's the first guy from the 2016 draft to make it to the major leagues of any organization. So he came up really fast, and I think he had 32 homers last year 30, among
32 homers, mm-hmm. 329 average. And a 9.58 OPS.
Yeah, that's good.
For, if you know what an OPS is.
On base plus slugging.
Yeah, okay.
He'll compete for some right field playing time this year, I think. And then there's Susak.
Susak?
He's a catcher. Used to be play with the Giants, the Brewers. They traded for him with the Brewers to get him for, I think, a six-pack of but ginger ale or something.
That was once a second-round draft choice.
Yeah, it was cash considerations. There were a player to be named later. But, yeah, he was a former second-round pick. He used to be a pretty highly thought-of prospect in the Giants organization. So kind of one of the Orioles' MOs of maybe a little bit of a reclamation, see what he can do. But he's definitely a backup kind of guy.
And they're backing up Wellington Castillo, right?
He's all gone. They lost. He took his player option and went elsewhere.
Well, when did this happen?
Well, in November.
Well, so who's the catcher?
It's Caleb Joseph, of course.
We're starting the season with Caleb Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wellington Castillo is no more
an
Oriole?
He's no more, but we have Susak just in case.
Tell me Adam Jones is on the team, right? He's got one more year, right? He's missed the Oriole.
As of now.
Now, at FanFest, when he was asked about an extension to his contract, he said, ask Mr. Duquette.
He did ask Mr. Duquette.
And Mr. Duquette, when Adam basically said that there'd been no substantial talks, Mr. Duquette's response was, that is accurate. Didn't seem too concerned about it.
We tell Pete what to write and he gets mad, but Adam Jones tells him what to write and he listens.
Right all over it. All over it. One time I got mad at you. I'm never going to be able to forget it, young whippersnapper.
Eddie, put down the phone for a minute. Let me ask you a question. Could Joey Rickard be an all-star? What are you doing anyway?
Stop. Sorry, we had news here that we had.
What's the news?
There are a bunch of other guys who.
He's tweeting. What are you doing?
I'm tweeting. I'm tweeting. The Orioles signed a bunch of minor league guys. One of them we reported earlier today, Craig Gentry. And then left-hander David Holmberg and left-hander Elvis
Araujo.
That's our second Araujo, right? Isn't Pedro Araujo?
We got more than one Araujo?
Yeah. Two Austins.
Okay.
Two Austins and then two Araujos.
Did you even hear my question, though?
Yeah, Joey Rickard. He's going to be an All-Star. How can I forget that question?
Could he be an All-Star someday?
I don't know. I mean, I never say never, but Joey's kind of... You know, I think he's still trying to find an everyday role first. Joey's a good player, but I think he's still kind of trying to establish himself.
Well, first impressions last. The way he started the 2016 season.
He was great in the beginning.
A
couple months
spring
he
was training
really good.
Is great.
Now, Trey Mancini. He looks like a future All-Star, right?
Oh, he could be an All-Star.
Oh, so you're nodding on this one.
Yeah, I buy that. Okay. I buy it.
Absolutely. I thought Trey Mancini was terrific. Did he finish second or third in the Rookie of the Year? Third? That's a travesty.
Behind Aaron Judge. Andrew Benintendi.
I need to ask you about Dylan Bundy. He's one of the starters, right? He'll be back this year.
Yeah, he's still on the team.
He could be an
All-Star this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He had his first full season as a starting pitcher last year. Obviously, before 2016, he'd barely pitched for 3 years. The Orioles kind of worked him back to health in the big leagues and nursed him along last year, so he got the peace of mind of having pitched a full major league season. He claims he's going to mix his pitches a little bit more. He relied on slider a lot last year, but when he was good, he was really good.
And Eddie, what's the latest on Zach Britton?
Well, Zach, obviously he ruptured his Achilles working out in California in, I think, December. He had surgery on it. He's rehabbing now. I believe he's still in a boot. He couldn't come to Fan Fest because he wasn't cleared to travel yet. But he'll spend most of spring training getting strength back in that foot and the leg and then start pitching probably or start throwing probably in late spring training. And right now Zach wants to be back by June, maybe earlier, but that's probably what we're looking at some point in June in terms of his return.
Okay, Jonathan Scope. He didn't make it to Fan Fest, but he's on the roster, right?
Well, Jonathan Scope just got his contract situation straightened out. He's going to get $8.5 million this year after making, I think, $3.5 million last year. That's a pretty nice raise. And obviously he was the most valuable player on the team last year and really emerged. And next year he'll be in the same situation as Manny Machado unless the Orioles do something soon, and history says they won't.
And John will also probably be invited to, because he missed regular Fan Fest, he'll probably be invited to the Spring Fan Fest in Sarasota, okay, so he can show up to at least one Fan Fest.
Okay, thank you, Eddie.
we are getting a bit cynical. I mean, they did do the contract with Chris Davis, which hasn't worked out that well so far, but they waited till the last possible minute to do that and ended up spending maybe way more than they would have had to spend 3 years earlier if they'd said, hey, we like this guy, let's just throw a few more years on the end of it. And they should have done this with Jonathan 2 years ago. A year or two ago and at least tacked a couple years on at a time when Jonathan would have been really grateful for the money. And now Jonathan's going to, at the end of this year, for a kid like him, he's already made enough money to live the rest of his life in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now he can afford to sit, wait, and get the big deal.
So let me ask you a warehouse question. Who's calling the shots these days? Is it Mr. Angelos, as in Peter Angelos, or is it his son? Or does Dan Duquette have more power than it sometimes appears?
Well, I believe that, in terms of the decisions that have to do with baseball, the baseball team and baseball operations, I think Dan Duquette has control of, trying to find the right players, trying to find the players that make sense. But ultimately, as I think we saw, the prime example of this is probably the way the potential Zach Britton trade broke down at the trade deadline, is that it still needs the rubber stamping of ownership. That didn't happen in the 11th hour of the Britton trade. There may be something having to do with that with the Machado trade. I don't think they really got what they were looking for in terms of two controllable starting pitchers for the next 4 or 5 years. That's really what they were looking for, or at least some kind of haul of what, the Braves got when they traded Jason Hayward a couple years ago. But, I think there's definitely something that, you need to run it by all levels of the organization.
See, this is what I worry about, that Duquette does just enough to make the playoffs and we don't look like a World Series team.
This year, that would be great.
Just to make the playoffs.
Yeah. This year that would be great.
Yeah.
Eddie's absolutely right. There's some question about who really calls the shots. Obviously, Peter Angelos has the last word. And I don't know what John Angelos' role is in player personnel. I'm guessing that whatever it is, it's probably informed by Brady because he and Brady are tight.
You mean Brady Anderson?
Brady Anderson. Yeah. I think my opinion is Dan has way more power than a lot of people think, and that Dan got hired because he thinks like Peter. He has Peter's. He really does kind of share Peter's values when it comes to how much money should be spent, how it should be spent. And so, obviously, they're on the same plane there.
Is the ambition to get to the World Series?
Of course, the ambition is to be in the World Series,
of course. I don't know.
Well, if you're basing it on what they've actually done and what they've spent, obviously, that's a fair question. But, you know, I'm sure they think that they can do this, that we can do it this way. And listen, to be fair, if you told me when Dan Duquette walked in the door in late 2011, said that we're going to have a winning team this year, that they would go to the playoffs three of the next 5 years, I'd have told you I'll go buy a Powerball ticket instead. Mm-hmm. So I can't totally dismiss Dan. I'm not dismissing Dan Duquette's contribution here. Look where they were. But there comes a time when that's not enough. As soon as your fans now have seen what it's like to be competitive.
Right.
I think that in their minds, they think they have a chance if they can get to the playoffs. So, yes, maybe the focus is on the playoffs, and they feel like that's roll the dice. It's a crapshoot after that.
Just kind of off of that, Dan, it's like one thing about baseball is it's always, you know, kind of comes and goes in cycles, too. And when you look at that series of success that they had between 2012 and 2016, you know, that was the right time for that group. You know, a lot of them were younger in their careers. You know, Machado came up along with them. The starting pitching seemed to kind of work just enough. They always had a strong bullpen, and they were built on good defense. But, you know, that cycle kind of, you know, grows out, you know. And at this point, you know, this time last year, they were talking in those same terms. I heard Dan Duquette talk about, you know, it's not good enough to make the playoffs. We want to be a World Series contender. Now, obviously, they took a pretty dramatic drop-off last year. But at the same time, you know, these guys are older, you know.
Right.
They're more towards maybe the tail end of their careers than the beginning of their careers. Or, you know, are they in their prime? You know, maybe some guys like Scope and Machado are still in their primes. But those are the guys that they really haven't been proactive enough to try to keep in-house. So when you look at it, a lot of it is kind of a cycle, too, of you know, maybe that being right timing, that success time being just an era of right timing, but now being, you know, maybe paying for some lack of proactivity in terms of keeping some of their guys, but also, you know, just, you know, guys hitting more of the tail ends of their careers too.
Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo, are they back?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you know, Mark certainly didn't have the year that he had the year before when he hit 47 home runs and led the major leagues. And Chris has really, you know, has fallen off since he led the league twice in home runs, led the majors twice in home runs. Both of them have something to prove this year, and if they both come back, and in Chris's case particularly, cut down on the strikeouts, use the outside part of the plate, if the two of them bounce back to some medium place where they should be, then the team will be more exciting. I don't know that it means the team becomes any more of a playoff contender, but if those two guys you know, hit 35 home runs each, then the team's going to be something to watch, which is kind of important too, because we take a lot of stock here in Baltimore in those nights, those warm summer nights at Camden Yards. Whether the team's, you know, going to win the World Series or not, those nights are important. And if the team plays, you know, exciting baseball and, you know, they hit four home runs and they win half their games, they're going to entertain people.
So potentially, again, you have seven players who could hit 20 or more home runs. This city, this region really needs a lift, and I hope the Orioles can provide it. One last thing, a name I got to ask you about. Engelb Vielma.
I believe he's from Venezuela.
Okay.
John made some really good Engelb Vielma the other day, didn't you?
Did you start with the bechamel sauce?
I've made that recently, actually. When the Orioles traded for him, I guess as a precursor to explaining who he is, Deadspin wrote an article with all the good Engelb Vielma anagrams, and there's a lot of good letters in that name. He's a utility infielder. I think the Orioles are his fifth team in the last 5 months. He kind of got sent off the Twins roster in September, and he's just been bouncing around ever since. The Orioles ended up with him because he's, you know, capable of playing shortstop and second base and third base, and they don't really have an apparent backup infielder to replace what Ryan Flaherty did. So They were able to take him off the scrap heap. They were finally able to get him on waivers. Four teams waived him. The Orioles got him, and now he's here. And we've seen a lot of him in gray pants this
spring. You know, Dan, being myself a connoisseur of strange and unusual surnames,
He's
now my favorite player.
Engelb Vielma. Engelb Vielma. Engelb Vielma. Okay, let's hope for the best. Have fun in Florida. Peter Schmuck and Eddie Ancina. John Mioli, thank you for being on the show. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Dan Rodericks for our producers, Quinn Kelly and Steve Early in the Baltimore Sun Newsroom. We'll see you again soon for another edition of Roughly Speaking.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop. The Ivy welcomes New York Times bestselling author Laura Lippman for the launch of Sunburn, a superb novel of psychological suspense about two people locked in a passionate yet uncompromising game of cat and mouse with dark secrets, forbidden desires, inevitable betrayals, and cold-blooded murder. Friday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. More at theivybookshop.com or call 410-377-2966.